hope that you all had a blessed Christmas, a wonderful time celebrating and remembering the great love of our God and what his birth means to us. It's pretty exciting we get to live on this side of Christ's birth. I think about all the thousands of years before him where the people were longing and looking for that Savior and in hope and wonder. And what that side of Christ would have looked like B.C. And thankfully we're here in A.D. and get to look forward to the second coming of Christ. And we know that he's already come, he's already made a way. And if we will serve him, we have eternal life with him. That's pretty exciting. So what were you expecting? What are you expecting? Most of us probably opened a gift or two under the Christmas tree. Did you get what you were expecting? Did it show up? Did it arrive as you expected? Or did it look like your package had been ran over by a truck or two before it got there? Anybody else get those packages occasionally? No, I'm the only one? Oh, Dan, okay. I unwrapped this one gift of mine that I've been wanting for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years maybe. Quite a while. Nothing significant. It's just really nice Estwing axe. I've wanted one for a long time, and they've been out of stock and back-ordered, and you can't get them, and blah, 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 out of production, finally in production again. So I finally got it! It was exciting. I got to go chop wood with it yesterday, build a campfire, roast some hot dogs. Super fun. I like that kind of stuff. But what were you expecting? What do you do when God's plan doesn't match your expectations of who you thought God was or what you thought God was going to ask you to do or how it was going to turn out when you said yes to God? What were you expecting? Did you get the result you were looking for or did you get something totally different? And when you get the something totally different, what do you do about it? How do you respond? Or do you just skip response totally and you just go into reaction mode? Because we should respond and not react. Right? Response is trained and developed, equipped, learned. Reaction is whatever emotion crosses my mind at the moment is what you're going to get. Anybody ever do that? Anybody want to be honest? Okay, 3 of you are honest. That's amazing. Anybody online? There's several online I can see raising hands. We've all been guilty of reacting. Hopefully we can shift and change and develop response. So EMTs, when they get to a crash site or a home visit, they respond. They are trained. They have the skills. They know what to do according to what's going on in the situation. They go in and respond. The mother of the child with the broken leg from the bike wreck is reacting. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Right? They don't know what to do. They're just freaking out usually. It's okay. You're a mom. You're allowed to do that. As an EMT, you can't show up on scene doing that. It's not good. If the EMT's freaking out, everybody's freaking out. But how do you go through life when you don't get what you want or what you expected? Maybe it's not even a want, but just your expectation is not met. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, there is a young lady, and we're going to get to the passage before this as well. But a young lady named Mary, she's saying yes, but I'm not sure she knows what she's saying yes to yet. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, this is Mary speaking. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. In the New King James, she says, so let it be unto me as you have said. Then we jump back a little bit. Luke 26, or chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. So Mary's just said yes to all of what we're going to read now. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked. Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary was expecting to go through her engagement process to Joseph, become married, then to become pregnant, then to start a family. That was her expectation of what was happening in life. That was pretty common for their day and era and their traditions. They had about a year-long betrothal period or engagement. They had no sexual relations during that time until after the wedding ceremony. That's what she expected. And then this angel shows up. How many of you expect angels to show up in your daily life? There's one husband getting brownie points. And most of us are going to freak out if an angel shows up and appears before us that we can physically see and starts talking to us. He says, "Mary, don't be afraid. Don't worry. I'm with God. I'm on your side." He then tells her in verse 28, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" You want to be favored by God? You want God's favor? We just talked about John having God's favor. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. Do you know what it means to receive God's favor? It means he'll equip you and train you and develop you to be able to go through the call he has on your life. Let's see what this looks like for Mary to be favored by God. God says, "Mary, you're going to become pregnant before you're married. I know it's not socially acceptable. I know the law says drag you out into the street and stone you to death, but it's going to be okay. Don't be afraid. This is really from God. And by the way, Mary, you're going to have to talk to Joseph about this." What does it look like to be favored by God? Her whole social standing is getting turned upside down. Her whole life is getting turned upside down by saying, "Yes, Lord, I will do what you have for me." What does it look like to be favored by God? Mary has to become pregnant without being married. Joseph at first is going to divorce her quietly, But then the angel of the Lord shows up to him and says, no, this is really of God. Don't worry about it. You can read the rest of the story there. Not only that, a couple of years later, they have to flee their hometown because King Herod is trying to kill all the babies under two, all the baby boys under 2 years of age. They have to flee and become refugees to Egypt. They have to go find safety out of Herod's reign. Anybody want to be favored by God? Is it looking better? Not only that, but about 33 years into it, she has to watch her son be falsely accused, be lied about, be tortured, be beaten, be whipped, be nailed to a cross with criminals. Has to watch him hang there and bleed and die. Mary, you are highly favored by God. What does it look like to be favored by God? We often paint in our minds this picture of, oh, it gets amazing and wonderful and beautiful and easy. That's not always what it looks like to walk in God's favor. So maybe you will ask me to quit praying for God's favor in your life. Please don't pray for me, Pastor. Or maybe you will say what Mary said. Here I am, your servant. Let it be unto me as you have chosen, or as you have said. God, whatever your will is, whatever your plan is for my life, I say yes. Even if it means showing up to a food bank in the rain, in the snow, in the 10 degrees, in the 110 degrees, and serving your people. God, I'm giving you my yes. Even if it looks like public ridicule and humiliation, even if it looks like watching my son die before me. God, I say yes to your plan and your will and your way. And God, I know if you've called me to it, you'll equip me, you'll prepare me for it. Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. You sometimes need God to step into your world and say, Arby, don't be afraid. You put your name in there. Don't be afraid. God has to step into my world occasionally and say, Arby, don't be afraid. I've got you. I've prepared you. You're walking in my favor. No, it's not going to be easy, but I will carry you through. I will be with you in the trial. I will be with you in the test. And at the end of the test, you're going to have a testimony. At the end of the mess, you're going to have a message. But we have to walk in his favor. Say, God, what is it to walk in your favor? God had some promises that he gave to Mary. For no word from God will ever fail. What are the promises of God? What does he promise us in his word? We don't have time to look at all those today. But I encourage you to build the foundation of your life on the promises of God, because his word will never fail. The Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand. It will never fail. In verse 38, Mary basically says, let's do this. Let's go, God. I'm not ready. Family's not going to understand what Mary is doing. Joseph doesn't understand what Mary is doing. Her friends aren't going to understand what Mary is doing. The community does not understand what Mary is doing. But she is walking and what God has called her to. What were you expecting? Mary, what were you expecting? I promise you, this isn't what she expected. To be 9 months along and to be thrown on top of a donkey and traveled down the road, to be counted for a census, to find out there's no room in the inn, to go find a stable with the animals where she can stay the night and give birth to the Son of God and lay him in a manger built for animals to feed in? This was not what she was expecting. But she walked through it with humility. She walked through it with grace. She walked through it with integrity. She walked through it with great character. And she stayed submitted and humble as the servant of God. Said, Lord, whatever you would have me do, here I am. Mary paints a beautiful picture of what it looks like to be favored by God, saying, God, whatever your will is, I will adjust my plans to your will. We often pray, God, adjust your plans to my will. Anybody guilty? There's some honest people here today. That's wonderful. But no, we're supposed to pray, God, adjust me to your plan and your will. Adjust my thinking. Adjust my actions. Adjust my words. Adjust my schedule. This was not an easy, so let it be unto me. I doubt that Mary knew the process of what that was going to look like. But living her life out, she walked it true. She continued in, Lord, let it be. Lord, let it be. She gave her yes from a solid foundation of trust in who her God is, of who her God had been. Sometimes when our expectations aren't met, we're like, well, God, you failed me. God, you abandoned me. God, you rejected me. But if we get back to the foundations of our truth, it's like, no, God didn't leave Mary. God didn't fail Mary. God didn't abandon Mary. Though at different points in her story, we could allude to that. So what do we do when we don't get what we're expecting? Anybody ever had unmet expectations? A couple of us, all of us, if we're being honest. What do you do? Do you let your emotions run wild? Do you let your feelings run wild? Our emotions and feelings come out of the heart. The Word of God says our heart is fickle and wicked. Who can know it? Tells us not to follow our heart because it will lead us into trouble. But the Word of God tells us to follow the truth of God's Word and who He says He is. Mary camping on those truths in her foundation of who God is what carried her through these unmet expectations. Do not allow the emotions of unmet expectations to override the truth of who God is. Don't let failed plans trump truth. We're going to look at a few truths about God and who He is. Of course, this is not an extensive list. This is just a handful. God has many other attributes and character traits that we could look at. But we're going to look at six here. God is faithful. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, God is faithful. And He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The same God back here talking to Joshua and Caleb and Moses. It's the same God we still serve. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, and this is in the time that Joshua is getting ready to succeed Moses as ruler over the Israelite community. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That's a truth we can camp on. That's a truth we can guide or direct our lives from. God is always faithful. God is always with me. God will not leave me. God will not forsake me. But I need to be strong and courageous. I need to be faithful and true to Him as well. I need to not be afraid. I need to not be discouraged. We have to do our part. We know God will do his part. Sometimes we let fear and discouragement get way too much ground in our lives, or it should have very little to none. Very little to none. The truth about God, he is faithful. Number two, the truth about God, he is forgiving. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that God is forgiving? The truth about God, he is forgiving. If we confess our sins, meaning if we will come to him with repentance, say, Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry, forgive me. He is faithful and true. He is forgiving. That's a truth you can stand on. As a pastor, I talk to people often, oh, you don't know what I've done. It's like, you're right, I don't, but God does. And he is faithful to forgive if we will confess our sin or our wrongdoing. I often take people shooting for the first time. I love it. It's fun to get to teach them how to safely handle the firearm and how to put the sights on the target and how to squeeze the trigger gently so that the bullet lands hopefully somewhere near the bullseye. And often people will shoot and go, see, I'm no good. I missed. It's like, you tried it once. Let's try again. Let's look at what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right. Let's put it all together. And if they'll give me an hour or so, we can make them a pretty decent shot, typically. Not all. But it's the same way with God. To sin is to miss the mark. In shooting, we miss the mark. We dial it in. Sometimes the sights need adjustment. Sometimes we need adjustment. But it's the same way in our spiritual lives. To sin is to miss the mark. To repent is to say, God, I missed the bullseye. I'm sorry. God, what needs dialed in my life so that I can hit the mark? Well, Arby, you've got some serious anger issues we need to work out. You need to experience my love. You need to experience my peace. You need to experience my joy. You need to experience my long suffering. You need some patience. And then we begin working on it and say, wow, God, look how close I'm getting to the bullseye. Until eventually it's like, wow, God, I keep hitting the bullseye. And now I'm like 9 out of 10. We get better, we improve, we grow, we develop into the men and women that God has created us to be. But the truth about God is he is forgiving, but you and I must come to him and confess our sins. Come to him with a repentant heart and say, God, I messed up. And I want to do better. God, form in me, shape in me. It's called working out our own salvation through the act of sanctification, daily renewing our hearts, renewing our minds to the heart and mind of Christ, that we would walk and be examples of him wherever we go, being what we are called as Christians or little Christ. Number three, the truth about God. He is loving. Romans 5, verse 8. He is loving. Do you know that God is loving? Some people can't wrap their minds around a loving God because they've never experienced a loving earthly father. And they think God is just a big white-bearded dude sitting on a throne in heaven with a quiver of lightning bolts and saying, I'm waiting for you to miss the mark, Arby, just so I can get you. And they think God's out to get them. His word does not say that. There will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of vengeance, but that is not now. That is not now. That is yet to come. And we are still operating under the love and grace of God. And thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Meaning when we were still enemies of God, his son still died for us because he loved us so much. That's a truth of God's word that you need in your foundation. God loves me so much that even when I was his enemy, he died for me to make a way for me, to show me his love. Number four, the truth about God, he is kind. God is kind. I was talking with someone a while back and they were kind of mocking Christianity, and they were a proclaimed Christian. And they were talking about Christians getting so soft, and yeah, some Christians are even saying like kindness is an attribute of God. And I was like, it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's really in his word, like something we should be showing to those around us. And he was saying it like kindness is a weakness that Christians shouldn't have. But when I read the word of God, it says, no, kindness is a fruit of my spirit. And when my spirit is living within me, within you, you will show kindness to those around you. And let's see what kindness says. Romans chapter 2. Verse 4, and this is right in the middle of this whole passage, is talking about God's righteous judgment. But Romans chapter 2, verse 4, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, which is patience, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? The kindness of God is what leads us to repentance. A God that loved us so much while we were still sinners, he died for us. That's the kindness of God. That's the kindness he still extends to us. It says, Arby, like you're not even hitting the target, man. Come back. Come back. And he loves me to repentance. The truth of God's word is his kindness will lead you to repentance. Number five, the truth about God. God is intentional. God does things on purpose with intention. He has a hope and a future in mind. We jump clear back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Final day of creation. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God is intentional. He doesn't make mistakes. You and I are not a mistake. We were not born in the wrong era, in the wrong decade, in the wrong century. We are on this earth intentionally by God for his plans and purposes in 2024 for a few more days. In 2025, we are here intentionally on purpose. God, why am I here on this earth? God, what have you set me on this earth to do in my time? And what is my favored by God Most High looking like today as it was for Mary in her day? Because Mary was there for a purpose with intentionality by the hand of God in her day. You and I have those same purposes, different but same purposes of God. God, why am I here today? God, what is my mission, my purpose? Because we know the truth of God's word is that he is intentional. He made us in his image and likeness. He put us over the land to rule and subdue it, to govern, to be good stewards of God's stuff, not our own. It's all God's stuff. We're supposed to be stewards of it. Are we participating in that? God made us and directed us. Are we engaging with the plan he has for our lives on the earth today? And the last one, number 6, God is personal. The truth about God is he is very personal. He is Lord of all creation. He is the beginning and the end, the everlasting. He is almighty. He is so big and so personal all at once. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. At birth, Emmanuel. God is so personal, he came to earth. Emmanuel, God with us. In Ephesians chapter 1, the next personal touch of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8a. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Talking about the work he would do at the cross. At the cross, God was so personal. He was God for us. God that paid the price for us. God that came for us. God is with us and for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? God is so personal. He is God in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty personal. God with us, God for us, God in us. The truth about God's word, he is with us, he is for us, he is in us. I'm going to close with a story, if that's okay. If it's not okay, you're dismissed. No, don't leave. So a couple weeks ago, I was talking about this lion hunt that I was on. I said that's the night I got the call from God to come to ministry. If you remember that, if not, you'll have to go back onto our Facebook page and listen to it, watch it. I was guiding a lion hunt 20-some years ago. I forget now. 20-some years ago, anyway. Up on the St. Joe River, and it had been a long day on snowshoes and hound dogs, and I ended up coming out 14 miles away from my truck. I was like, oh, it's going to be a long night because it's just getting dark when I hit the road. I know I've got at least 3 hours back to my truck, and that's beating feet fast in snowshoes. And so I'm in the middle of the night hiking with my hound dogs, walking down this road at a very quick pace. And all of a sudden, I just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's just, I begin weeping, I begin repenting and saying, God, I'm sorry, because at that time in my life, I wasn't living for Christ. I wasn't serving him. I knew who he was. I had had a relationship with him through most of my childhood and young life, but had went astray, went my own way. I'm walking down the road just talking to God. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't audible, but it's as loud as I've ever heard God in my spirit. And it was, will you come teach for me? And like, it might as well have just been a big neon sign across the whole St. Joe River. It was that powerful of a moment in my life. I was like, whoa. And I just dropped down on my knees right there in the snow, and I had a hound dog in each arm, and we were talking to God, and I was sobbing, and I was like, yes, Lord, let it be unto me. That was my let it be unto me moment in my life. Not knowing what the favor of God would mean. So I went back. I eventually got to camp that night later, and I talked to the outfitter I was working for then and said, hey, we had one more lion hunt back to back, and then we had a several week gap before the next hunt. I said, hey, after the next hunt, it's going to be my last hunt. I'm moving home. And at that point, I thought I was supposed to go to college and become a school teacher. That's what I expected. So I finished the hunt and went home, and the outfitter's like, you're crazy. What? What's going on? He's like, I don't understand that God stuff, but whatever you think you need to do. And only married me because there was no chance on earth or hell that I would ever become a pastor. And let her know that I had quit my job and I'd got this call from God. And she's like, I don't think so. Go get your job back. Not what I expected. Not what she expected. So eventually tried to get into school down at LCSC. And I'm pretty sure my bird dog could get in down there. I could not. I tried this angle and that angle, and like, it was, the doors just kept shutting, and like, what? Like, I'm pretty sure I heard what I heard. Like, God, give me a sign. God, give me direction. Meanwhile, my wife had been in a vehicle accident and had shoulder surgery. And so we're both at home, both not working. I'm like, God, like, there's jobs everywhere. At that time, there was like, I don't know, 10,000 jobs available in Lewiston. And I'm applying everywhere for any job I can think of or any job that shows up in the paper. That was before Facebook, so you couldn't go on there to find a job. You had to read a newspaper back then to find a job. But I applied everywhere. I was like, I will take the trash out at McDonald's. I don't care. I will. There was no job I would not do. I could not get a job. Could not get a job. And I had great references. I knew people that were managers of businesses. I knew the guy managing the whole Home Depot Ross complex up there. All that was under development then. They're like, we need 10,000 workers immediately. I worked for his mom all through high school at her place up on the hill. And I'm like, oh, easy road in. Couldn't get a job. I'm like, what is going on? We don't have money, we don't have savings, we have bills. But through that time, in the time, it was really freaky. It was really scary. I was terrified. I was afraid. Working out as it was supposed to. my wife's really not happy with me. I'm not sure I heard right at this point. I'm like, maybe I do need to go get a guiding job again. I don't know what to do. But God provided for us through that. It was about 5 months that I could not find a job anywhere. And we had no savings. We had nothing. But people would stop. There'd be a box of groceries on our porch. I don't know how our bills got paid. We never had a late bill. I still to this, God, period. But God took care of us through that time. And it built faith. But God, this isn't what I expected. God, this isn't what I had planned when I said yes. So let it be unto me, God. And there's been a lot of different adventures along the way that I didn't expect. But is my yes to God bigger than my fear and failed expectations? Is my yes to God bigger than my unmet expectations? And I hope I can continue saying yes. I hope that for you, you can continue saying yes. Because being favored by God isn't always what we thought it might be. And my wife would tell you as well, it's been a journey. But God is good. God is faithful. God is forgiving. God is kind. God is intentional. And God is oh so personal. So adjust your expectations to meet the favor of God in your life. And know that the favor of God in your life may not always be what you thought it would be, but it is worth it for His plan, for His kingdom, for His glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that You invite us into Your great plans throughout the earth. God, we thank You that You invite us to be Your hands and feet extended, Father, to the world around us. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are loving and gracious and forgiving and kind. God, that You are faithful. God, that You are always there, never leaving us. Father, we thank You that You equip. God, You give us this great instruction manual. God, Your word. And Father, we thank You. God, that You never leave us. You never forsake us. God, that we can always turn to You and You are there. God, we thank You that You are so personal. God, we give You praise and honor and glory for Your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.